Janet, are you still
Welcome
there?
Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we're going to be talking with two women who are authors of children's books. They're going to be coming on with us in a few minutes. So before I get into that interview, because we've got a few minutes here to chat, I wanted to let you know I want to share, if I have the time, a wonderful story about a man. His name is Phil, and I was sent this via email, and it's just so significant to me about how a question he had had all of his life, just totally, when he finally asked the question, gave his life a vitality that he didn't even know was possible. So we're going to be sharing that after we talk with our two authors that are going to be coming on in a little bit. But before that happens, I wanted to talk about the weather. I don't know about what it's like in your part of the world, but by golly, we have had some of the weirdest weather here in the Pacific Northwest. I guess it's really not all that weird. But people have been battling the elements forever, and Mother Nature has a wonderful way of surprising us when we do not expect that she's going to do it. Often we don't appreciate those surprises, especially if they're rain, snow, sleet, hail, or tornadoes or cyclones or whatever. But she does have her own personality, and I sometimes think she has severe attacks of PMS, but of course that's my opinion. But in Beijing, they're taking a whole different approach with Mother Nature. And of course, most of us are aware that on the 8th of August, about 91,000 people are going to be sitting in an open-air stadium in Beijing because the Summer Olympics are going to be starting for 2008. Now, there are thousands of people, athletes, who are going to be competing in this phenomenal happening. And of course, millions, actually billions around the world are going to be watching the event on television. Now, the last thing that the Chinese want is to have a rainstorm hit. Now, the Chinese, for centuries, have always tried to work with nature. And many times, they have gone through periods of drought, and they had various techniques to trigger rainfall in their northern provinces. And, of course, Beijing is in that area, and this has been going on for centuries. This is something that has always been a challenge. Now, for the Olympics, the world's largest weather modification bureau is going to set up, this is really, really unreal, several banks of rocket launchers outside of Beijing, and they're going to blast any rain clouds that may decide to tap dance their way into the area with silver iodide and force them to release the rain before it reaches the Olympic Stadium. That's a new twist, isn't it? Now, this bureau has also been practicing a different type of strategy that's not too well known that involves overseeding the clouds to actually prevent rainfall. Now, this technique has been used before, and what it does, it increases the number of ice crystals, not rice, but ice crystals in a cloud, but also decreases their size, which makes them less likely to fall as rain. Now, one of the experts regarding this said, none of these techniques are proven theory. The technology about this is very speculative. However, the National Center for Atmospheric Research in Colorado says, one of their people said that they're very skeptical of any chance of success for this. But the Chinese are very determined that weather control is still more art than science, and they're going to work it for all that they are worth. They're hoping just to beat the odds, which, according to historical records, calls for a 50% chance of rain. Sort of like the Pacific Northwest. Here, if they tell you there's a 30% chance of rain, you always take your raincoat. You never leave anything to speculation. But that is something that people have always been interested in. And I'll share with you just a story about a man that I met so many years ago. And he had been given particular training by some people that didn't make too much noise about what their talents were relative to weather control. And he had been very active in the study and the research of being able to alter weather patterns. And he said, it is possible. It really is possible. But it's not something that generally people are going to have the patience to deal with or to do. The Hopi Indians have believed in this. There's just been so much that has been talked about as long as we have had farmlands and as long as people have been around, because the weather, the seasons, have a great deal to do with how our life cycles evolve. It's really quite interesting. So the Chinese are determined. They are very determined. And who knows? They might be lucky. This is Donna Sebo, and in just a moment, we're going to have an author on the line of Janet. Her name is Janet Ruth Heller. We're going to be talking with Janet about how the moon regained her shape. And also, after Janet, we're going to be talking with Tina Powers. We're going to be talking about her wonderfully illustrated book, The Land of Imagination. I am so into literacy for young people because I know how precious and valuable the skill of reading is. And so I'm really delighted to be able to have both of these ladies on the air with me, and they're going to be coming on in just a moment. If you hear a beep, that'll be telling us exactly what is happening behind the scenes, and that we will have Janet on in just a moment here. Reading is so important. I cannot stress it enough. Now, in my family, reading was never that big a deal, but I always had a passion for it. I don't know why. I just came in with the love of books, which I have to this day, and I know I'll have as long as I live. To me, they're treasures. They're good friends that you go back and visit every once in a while to remind you of things that you need to know, that you need to be aware of. But also, you get new friends when you have books. You have books that enable you to learn new ways of thinking, expose you to areas of the world, and knowledge can come in so many different forms. And one of the best forms is through storytelling. It is through being able to share with a young child these wonderful tales that will empower them to realize that the world is a very big place. And storytelling always, throughout the centuries, throughout the millennia, has been the way that we've been able sometimes to spark a child's mind and get them interested in various things. So the gift of the storyteller is one that should always be respected and honored. And if you are honored, if you're really good at it, you have a very special gift that enables people to really go into places they otherwise would never have thought possible. Okay, I'm going to ask Dawn, have we got Janet on the line yet? I'm not getting a response, so I don't think Dawn has gotten her yet.
I'm hearing you.
Oh, wait a minute. Janet, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Oh, great. Well, speak up. I'm sorry. I wasn't sure. I was hearing something in the background.
Yeah, I am on the line.
Oh, fabulous. Well, we have Janet Ruth Heller with us today. She has the most wonderful book that she's put out. It's called How the Moon Regained Her Shape. Janet, you're a woman that is so very accomplished. You have a Ph.D. in English language and literature from the University of Chicago. You teach for the English and Women's Studies Department at Western Michigan University. Now, you have been always a very avid lover of writing, anything that had to do with creativity, literature. You have done all kinds of it yourself. Fiction and nonfiction. You are the founding mother of Primavera, which is a literary magazine based in Chicago. You've got all kinds of things that you've done. How did this story come to life? It is just exquisite how you have taken the subjects associated with the moon and brought them to life in this wonderful, wonderful story.
It wound up being a combination of several things. I was bullied when I was in kindergarten, and also in elementary school. But it was hardest in kindergarten. I was a new student in the school, and this happens often to new students, that you get excluded from play during recess. And one little girl in particular kept making fun of my body every single day. And I thought that what she was saying was true, and I started to think that there was something terribly defective about my body. I told my mom what was happening, and she gave me the sticks and stones line. I think that one of the reasons I wrote the book is to help other children, because I didn't really get help with my bullying. I'd never told the teacher. I never told other kids it was going on. And my mom and many adults when I was a kid thought that bullying would help make you strong and prepared for the rough world of adulthood. And most teachers and people in the social sciences now do not think that bullying is really helpful for kids. And in my case, I was really too young to know how to deal with it. And I was a very shy little girl. I think adults may not realize how clueless many kids are when they're bullied. I was totally clueless, and I really needed some adult advice.
Well, I think that's very true. And I had experiences like that myself. And I agree with what you're saying, the generation that you came up with. And I think in many areas it's still the same way. If you're being bullied, you got to stand up to them. But you have to have someone tell you this, because you just don't know. If you have been in an environment that has not brought you into the harshness of everyday life, then this is what you do. Now, you used the symbol of the moon, and I loved it, because you start off with your story, once the moon was round and full, proud of her gentle light. She did not fear the darkness around her. She danced across the sky, laughing as she twirled her skirts. Your art, which is done by Ben Hodson, is exquisite. It's absolutely exquisite. It has the Native American theme that I just think is beautifully expressed. And you use the sun as the bully.
I had been reading a lot of Native American legends when I wrote this. Some of my research was on a Native American writer in Michigan. And I'd been reading a lot of Native American legends and ceremonies to understand her work. And I wrote this story while I was researching this writer. And I was trying to write, the story is my own, but the moon and sun are important characters in many Native American legends. And I was also trying to write my story in the simple style of a Native American folktale.
Well, I think you've done a wonderful job. Now, you have the sun, you, who is really a nasty personality. She just really doesn't have too much to do with the moon. And, of course, they represent opposites. But the moon goes through a very down period, and then you have a comet. And I love the artistic design of the comet. And he decides he's going to help the moon. And you go into the factor of communication. You have so many subtleties in your story that I think a child's mind would very easily be comfortable with. And the comet says, well, I know of someone called Round Arms who can restore you to health, make you feel better about who you are. And there again, it's the Native American theme. There is this openness, and we will show you how important you are and that you have value. And this is something that I think every living being needs to know, that they have value. And that's what this Native woman does with the moon. And the portrayals are so loving and so caring. And then you have an artist, Painted Deer, that you bring in.
Yes, I wanted to show that both men and women can be friends of yours and can help you. And so the Native American artist is sort of a parallel character to the Native American woman. And I really do like the way that my real artist captured all of these characters. And Ben Hodson also added some little details to make it, the story even more multicultural than I originally wrote it. And also to foreshadow. A lot of his little details in earlier pages give you hints about what's going to happen later in the story.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I pick it up, I notice another little detail that he added.
Well, it's wonderful because through the story, the native woman shows Moon how her light helps a mama bunny find food for her babies. And then she introduces the moon. I mean, there's all these little tiny things in the story that are so significant. And then Round Arms takes the moon to where 100 women are dancing, and the women enjoy it. And this has, again, multiple themes to it, multiple levels to it, that I think is marvelous. And in cultures throughout the world, the moon has had such a significance to women, and the harmony within the female. It's a wonderful, wonderful story that you have put together. But not only have you honored the female in the story and the male in the story that you have put together, how the moon regained her shape, you also have some wonderful things that young people can do with their families. You've got projects in here that they can do. You've got an edible moon cookies project, which I thought was fabulous.
I was helped in that by my editor, Donna German, who has published cookbooks as well as books for children. So she helped me with that section a lot. All of the books by my publisher move from telling a story to scientific concepts, or in my case, also a little essay about bullying, and also learning about the moon and the solar system in the case of my story. Other books by my publisher introduce mathematical concepts or give you a lot of details, for example, about a loon or some other bird or animal. So the idea is that through getting interested in something with a story, the child will ask questions and want to know some more factual, scientific, or mathematical information. So that's the idea behind
mm-hmm.
many of the books.
And that, I think, is so great. I think we underestimate children. I mean, I've read to children that were 3 years old that would hold a full-length conversation with you afterwards, and it's just amazing the way kids are today. They absorb so much more than what we give them credit for. I found it so interesting the way you had done research on various tribes, and for each month of the year, the moon would have a different name. It's like in January, there was Wolf Moon and Old Moon. This month of June, it would be called the Strawberry Moon, the Rose Moon. And every single month had information that you put in here about it, and I think that is so much fun for kids to learn about. It expands their thinking and makes them aware of agriculture and other aspects that are affected by the moon. The moon is a very significant part of our life.
It would also be a good opening for a parent or teacher to talk to children about agricultural societies and how important the sun and the moon and the tides and the seasons of the year were for those agricultural societies. They're still important in our society, but I have friends who are farmers, and when there's an early frost or a late frost or an unusually dry, unusually wet season, things are very, very difficult for them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You bring up the phrase, once in a blue moon, and this fascinated me because I was unaware of this. Once in a blue moon, we all know that means something that happens very rarely. But a blue moon actually occurs when there's two full moons in one calendar month. And you give the example, there might be a full moon on the first or second of a given month, and then another one on the 30th or the 31st. And the second full moon is the blue moon, but it really isn't blue in color. And the blue moon happens on average every 33 months. So that's a piece of information. That just had never crossed my mental path of detail.
Yeah, until I wrote the book and started doing some research on the solar system myself, I didn't really know that. But I think kids find things like that interesting. They notice at night that the moon is different shapes, and in part my book is a legend about why the moon changes shape. And then in the back you learn why the moon really does change shape.
Mm-hmm. And all of that is very well portrayed. Your graphics, I mean, and the details that you give, it really, for a youngster's mind, would just be so fascinating, I would think. And you could make a project, a teacher could make up projects with this book. So this is something that if a person is looking to give a gift to a youngster, there are so many parts of this book that go into so many different arenas and would expand a child's mind. Now, Jana, do you have a website that people can go to?
There's a lot of stuff about the book on my publisher's website. I'm in the process of setting up a website, but I'm not super technological, so I'm needing a lot of help with that. So I can give you my publisher's website.
All right, and what is that?
Which is www.sylvandellpublishing.com, and that's sylvandellpublishing.com.
Well, Jana,
and it's a capital S, capital D, and capital P in those three words.
Right.
But they're all one word run together.
What you've accomplished here, both artistically with Ben Hodson's work, the whole layout, I think is something that will be enjoyed for many, many years by many, many families. And I so appreciate your being with me today. Janet's book is How the Moon Regained Her Shape. It's, again, a wonderful story that is going to incorporate so many different modalities that I just think a child would be absolutely fascinated by it and would want to be read to again and again and again. Janet Heller, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I had a great time.
Wonderful. This is Donna Sebo. Now, again, the book is How the Moon Regained Her Shape. Janet Ruth Heller, H-E-L-L-E-R, is the artist or is the author. SylvanDellPublishing.com, SylvanDellPublishing.com, is where you're going to find out more about this wonderful book. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. Don't you go away now. We are going to be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTaP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's t-tapp.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning, and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyMD.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on bbsradio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. My second guest today is Tina Naughton Powers. We're going to be talking about the land of imagination. Today is a show dedicated to children's books because I really feel that the love of reading has to start when you're younger, because if you don't do it when you're younger, usually when you mature, it's like, oh, I don't have time to read. I can't be bothered to read. It's too hard to read. But when you start children with the process of colorful books, wonderful stories, you nourish them in a way mentally that's going to give them a gift that will last them a lifetime. Tina, I want to welcome you to my show, Tina Powers. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks, Donna. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, I'm so pleased to have you. Now, I want my audience to know about you. You've got quite a background. You are a former news reporter, anchor. You've been an assignment editor, television producer, and talk show host for CBS in Arizona.
Right.
You've done your own morning show, and you've done a Children's Miracle Network telethon for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
You have appeared all over the place. You've been involved with intuition, clairvoyance, and all kinds of things regarding the paranormal. And you have just been a busy, busy gal. How in the blue blazes did you ever get the time to put together this gorgeous book, The Land of Imagination?
You know, when I was in second grade, and this is what's so important about, you know, teachers and the influence that they have, is that a teacher told me, she said, Tina, you're a good reader and a good writer. And I really want you to pay attention to this, and I notice your talents. And so when I was younger, I used to write all the time creatively. And then when I worked in broadcast journalism, you know, of course, we wrote all our own material.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote in that form for about 13 years. And then when I got out of doing that, I went back to a more creative way of writing because, as you know, the broadcast journalism, there's a lot of negativity in that.
No kidding.
I don't watch the news much anymore. I mean, I think that there are things we need to know, you know, about in the world. But a lot of the news, if you look at it, you know, the first five stories are death, doom, and destruction.
No kidding. That's the truth. If I'm repeating myself, I'm just in total agreement with
you. Oh, no, that's great. And so when I got out of doing the news, I decided that I wanted to do something that was helping, not just reporting what was wrong. And so I thought here I was at that point in my 30s, and I was getting, you know, that nothing is safe. You know, there's no, because I had originally wanted to be an actress, and I was told, no, that's just not safe. There's no work in that. You know, do something that's more dependable. And so, you know, I went the broadcast journalism route. And then I discovered, well, you know, that was all very helpful, but that really that there was nothing safe, you know, so why not do the thing you love? So I decided to write a book to help children know that at a younger age.
The artistry in your book has such a delicate feel, and you've just got this wonderful, wonderful story that you dedicated to your daughter.
Well, actually, you know what? It's my niece she is showing acting tendencies as well.
Oh.
And she's also got intuitive gifts that have been coming forward. It's about a creative kingdom where everybody's doing what they love, because wouldn't that ultimately be the best thing if everybody was doing what they loved?
Oh, of course. But how many people do?
Right. And then that's what this wizard that's in it ends up putting a magic changing potion in the queen's tea, and she starts talking in contractions about what she can't do, what she won't do, what she shouldn't do. And she asks everyone in the land to also talk like that. So I figured, you know, it was showing how negative thought forms can spread.
Mm-hmm.
And then about the little girl who wants to change the kingdom back to can, will, and do, and her version of how she does that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great fun to write, and the artistry in it. The illustrator, I wanted a fairy tale feel.
Yes.
Because I remember when I was young, I loved the fairy tales, and I also loved the hardback books. They were like treasured items.
Oh, aren't they? It's just a feel you never forget.
Yes, and so I wanted it to be a treasured book and a book that also had a message for adults as well as children, because I think really good children's books do.
Yes, they do. And what I have found when I did my children's book, what I found was the adults that bought them for children,
right?
Absolutely loved them. In fact, I can remember one grandmother saying, I have this library and it stays in my house, and periodically she'd just go through and read the children's books.
Uh-huh.
Now, she'd read it to her grandkids. She had like 9 or 13 grandkids,
right.
Something like this. So whenever they came over to Grandma's house, there was a library she had set up for them. And it was a ritual that she established, which I thought was a fairy tale like in itself, because you don't hear of that very often. But she had such a love for these books, and that's in her will to pass along her children's library to certain members of the family.
Oh, I absolutely adore that.
So this is something I have experienced with so many people, and I don't think that there are enough children that have the opportunity to experience this. And that's why today I was so interested in having you and my other guest on, because I think the quality of the material that you have is so significant, because the very thing you are addressing, now, your book would be for what ages?
I would say, it's 6 to 9-year-olds seem to like it very much, but the younger children also love the pictures, and they remember the word can as well, can, will, do.
Yes, and this is something that I would have to say, that when an adult would read it, you have done a double thing here, because whenever the adult is reading it and is saying, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do the other, and then you shift to, I can, I will, and you remove those other words that often are so limiting.
Right.
That is also taking place in the adult's mind.
Right. It actually was this woman, it was another teacher who said to me, Tina, try writing a paragraph without using a contraction and see, how you do with it. And so I started to write this paragraph, and I found myself shortening the words and putting that N apostrophe T. And then I went, oh, my goodness, look at how even when I'm conscious of it, I'm doing it.
Yes, because it's sort of hardwired in.
Right. And so I thought, ooh, if I can give that message and the children and adults can remember, of course, you're designed to do what you love to do and what you're passionate about, and what you're usually passionate about, you're good at.
And I love your dragon.
You love my dragon?
And this is a well-dressed dragon. I mean, this dragon has style. I like this dragon. Anybody that loves jewelry the way this dragon does, I mean, this dragon is dressed to the nines.
Well, the dragon symbolizes our higher self, our wise, all-knowing self.
Mm-hmm.
Deep within us, we all have that. And then if we can remember to access that part of ourselves, here it's illustrated as a dragon, but my intention was, this is the wise one within.
Well, in the Chinese culture, the dragon has such a powerful significance, and when you look at the mythology that has evolved with Christianity on so many different levels, the dragon has often come forward in interesting portrayals.
Mm.
I think the dragon has symbolized so much to so many different cultures throughout the centuries. And it usually has been a very positive kind of a symbol with a lot of power that you have to know how to harness. Otherwise, it doesn't work for you very well.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And also, that I don't know if you saw the little butterfly that's in it.
Oh, yes.
The butterfly is the intuition that flies up to her and says, of course you can, and I'll show you how.
Mm-hmm.
And then, sometimes I'm in the schools, and I do a program called the Good News Kids.
Uh-huh.
I say I'm getting rid of my bad news karma. Huh?
That's good in media. I'll accept that. That's super.
But I teach, I try to, help kids understand what makes them feel good, what news that they're hearing, to pay attention to the good things, because they grow in your life the more that you focus on them.
Absolutely.
And I had this little girl, I talked about the dragon and the butterfly, and then this little girl raised her hand and she said, well, is the little girl, does she mean courage?
Mm-hmm.
And it sent goosebumps up my spine. I said, yes, of course the little girl is courage. You have to have the courage to keep going forward of what you know to be true inside and what your dreams are and work toward them.
When a child brings up points like this to you, you realize that you are having effects on their psyche in a very positive way.
Mm.
And I think my earlier guest had mentioned how she had been bullied and how she had to deal with that and grow up through that.
Oh, that's just awful.
So when you have a child that comes to you and makes a comment like that, there has been a seed planted in that child's mind that you don't know how that's going to sprout and empower that child at a later date. And your book is just so beautifully, beautifully done.
Oh, now, thanks, Donna.
Of course, there is a very happy ending. And anyone that puts a cup of tea at the very end with cookies as part of the illustration is a winner to me, because that's two of my favorite combinations. So you've got all of these wonderful things that are going together, but it is a book for boys as well as girls. And
yes,
it is something that enables them to see that there is a way of doing things, and you have to go outside of the box.
Absolutely. I always say that too, Donna. You have to go outside of the box and you know, make your own path instead of following what everyone else is doing.
And that is The Road to Individuality in your book, The Land of Imagination, with this exquisite, stylish dragon that's on the front of the cover. It's just a book that I think would warm the hearts and minds of not just the kids, but also the parents when they're reading it. Now, do you have a website that people
I
can
sure
go to?
I sure do. It's tpowers.com. And, you know, it tells a little bit about the background, my background, and comments where we can chat back and forth. And there is a way to order it on tpowers.com. And also, I'm on amazon.com as well.
Tina Naughton Powers has been my guest. Her beautiful book is The Land of Imagination. And you can go to her website, tfortinapowers.com, and you can find out more information. Both of the authors we've had today are fabulous. Tina, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, and thank you so much for having me. This has been just delightful. Thanks, Donna, and thanks for all the work you're doing in the world.
Thank you, Tina. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be coming back in just a moment, so don't go anywhere. I've got more good things to share. We'll be back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. Four out of the last eight Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Well, telephone lines are open. 877-876-5227 is the number for the U.S. Canadians, it's 888-815-9756. Again, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. And by the way, if you're a first-time listener, all you need to do is give me your first name or initial, and then after that, I'll just tell you what I perceive, and you're welcome to ask me a question when I'm finished. It's real simple. I'm an information resource, and I'm absolutely delighted to be able to share my skills with you on the air. Now, I do have a special story that I wanted to share with you about a man named Phil, and I'm hoping I'll have enough time to do it. But let me let you know who's coming up this week, because we have a wonderful listing of guests. Tomorrow we're going to be talking with Judith Barr, Power Abused, Power Healed. How many of us have been having conversations about the abuse of power, whether it's politically, corporate, doesn't make any difference. It can be even on a personal relationship. Well, this is a subject that we're going to be talking about tomorrow that I think that you will find very interesting. Also on Thursday, we're going to be talking with Dr. Fred Ernst, Truth, Lies, and ER. If you are going in for surgery, if you need to talk to an anesthesiologist, if you have allergies, if you have this, that, or the other that you're concerned with, you're not going to want to miss Dr. Ernst. He is coming out with clear information about stuff you need to know. And then Chris Gaynor, To a Distant Day. This is a person that really has a special message to share. So we are going to be talking with some wonderful, wonderful people this week. And, oh, we've got a great lineup of guests next week. Of course, we have such wonderful people out in the world that really are making an effort at improving the world that we live in and being resourceful and also giving us information about how maybe to overcome obstacles or tools that we can use to empower our lives. And that's what the Donna Seaborg Show is all about. So I feel so privileged when I get this material from individuals, I'm able to read it and I'm able to pass it along to you. And then you perhaps can share it with someone else. So be sure you tell people about the Donna Seaborg Show. Also let them know that the programs are archived so that at any time, whenever they feel like it, if they've missed a program, they can come on right back on to bbsradio.com, go into the Donna Seaborg Show section, go into the archive section, and there you will have all kinds of information available to you that, again, you can listen at your leisure whenever it's comfortable. Now, here's the story that I received. This came from a gentleman, Bob, and he sent it to me, and it's about someone that he knows. And this month we're going to be celebrating Father's Day, and so there's a number of stories that have come to my attention regarding dads and guys, and I wanted to be sure and share it with you. Now, this is Phil, and let me take a look here quickly. It's Phil Evans. This is something that happened to him. This is his personal story that I was sent. He said, yesterday was the best day of my life, the very best day without any doubt at all. Let me explain. All of my life, I felt different, detached, often lonely, fearful, to the point of feeling that absolute dread, oh, the worst thing was going to happen to me. I didn't fit in. There was always an underlying sadness. I constantly would self-sabotage. And there were so many other negative emotions. Yet at the same time, I was achieving a great deal. I was really quite successful in life. Now, at various points in his life, Phil wondered about the strong emotions. And he said, deep down, I felt that I was adopted. And I simply didn't have a feeling of deep connection with my family. Now, he said, I'm the eldest of three children, a brother 2 years my junior, and a sister 5 years my junior. He said, my work as a personal development coach has led me to working with many people with abandonment and or separation issues. And each and every time, I could actually feel the emotions and personal energy of the people concerned. I could connect 100% with how they were feeling and why. I could explain the process to them of how and why they were feeling these seemingly crazy emotions, even when sometimes they felt them when one of their loved ones, a husband, a wife, or even their own children, were only going to work or school for the day. Now, these feelings of mine often led me to thinking that one day I should ask my mother if I had been adopted, because my feelings were so strong that I've actually believed that I've been right for many years now and that I was adopted. Well, many years have passed, and I never asked my mother this important question until yesterday, that is. And he said, yesterday morning, I awakened with a feeling of dread running through every cell in my body. I was filled with fear, with doubt. The dread just kept growing. And I wondered if I should ask about these feelings about my being adopted today. So he said, later on in the day, I was visiting with my daughter, and she was chatting with me, and she told me that she was moving out of our area to live to take on a project, which was a great chance for a new experience for her and her partner. And while she was telling me about this new adventure in her young life, which I normally would have encouraged 100%, I just burst out crying. I had these uncontrollable emotions. My insides started to quiver to this point where I was just sobbing deeply. The idea of another separation from her was shattering news for me, even though my daughter was only going to be about 2 hours away by automobile. The memory of her adventure to northern Queensland and Darwin a few years back brought up all kinds of stuff with me, all the stuff that I had been carrying for so many, many years. Now, my daughter was just as shocked at my weeping as I was to be doing it. Well, after I calmed down, I reassured her that I was just fine, and that was when I decided to call my dear old mum. Now, she lives down the road about 130 kilometers in Sydney, and I asked her if I was adopted. Today was the day. I wasn't going to wait another moment because I couldn't waste any more time. So I rang her up immediately. Now, Mom wasn't at home, so I left a message, and then I rang my sister, and I found out that Mom was on her way to Judy's place, so I asked my sister if she would explain to Mom that I'd called, and that I wanted to know if I was adopted. Now, my mother said she almost fainted when she found out about the question, but she was very comfortable with the approach, and she said she would be at peace with it. His sister felt the same way. She said regardless of what the answer was, it would be fine. Now, the best part of this was that he asked his sister to explain to his mother that he had no negative feelings about what I was asking and that he wasn't angry with her or anyone else for that matter. He just wanted to know, was he adopted? Well, Phil hung up the phone and he waited for what seemed like just eternity. And the phone eventually rang. Phil said he was in a space that he had never felt before in his entire life. He knew that he was going to have the most amazing conversation with his mother, the best one he had ever had. And he said, how right I ended up being. Intuition is a powerful thing. That inner voice is often shouting for us to listen and act. Fortunately, I usually do that. It's just that this particular action had taken so long to get to become a reality. And this is what I heard on the most important day of my life. Hello, my darling. Judy has told me about your question. And if I were there looking you straight in the eye, and I wish that I were, I would have to say yes, you were adopted. And Phil said, because I knew that my mom had been told that I was okay with whatever the answer was, I very quickly told my mother that I was the most relieved that I had ever been in my entire life in that very moment, that her answer had explained in the blink of an eye what I had felt all of my life, and that it explained every day of my life, that it explained every single topsy-turvy and seemingly irrational emotion I had ever felt. In that single moment, I felt healed to a point I never thought was possible. The feelings ran throughout every cell in my body, and in that moment, in that single moment, I was completely changed, and for the first time in my life, I felt the love and connection to my family, which had always been missing for me. Now, that may sound crazy and irrational, and it may seem upside down, but it's something that I had been processing for years. And now I knew the truth. I'd always felt like I was living a lie, but I didn't know why. Now I could be the authentic me, the person I have always wanted to be. Now, Phil said there was a beautiful bonus that came with this experience, or he even called it a side effect, the relief for his wonderful mom. He said, this woman had taken me from someone who had wanted me, but simply couldn't keep me and gave me a home. The relief for her was huge, and I'm so glad that I asked her. She was so proud of me for my attitude towards the situation and that I had such a good feeling about this that I went and got into my car straight away, and I went to see my whole family who were waiting to see me so we could all share this new feeling I had discovered in one very special moment on the 13th of January, 2008. He said, back in the 1950s, the system advised people who adopted children to never tell the child. Full stop. No other options. Don't tell the child. And that was my parents' biggest dilemma in recent years, and I can respect that. And I can understand why that was established as a precedent, and I'm accepting that completely. I have no anger, malice, or judgment towards anyone. I am so glad that I can adopt that attitude. So glad. And Phil said, today I've been sharing my new energy with everyone I possibly can. I've reintroduced myself to people who I already know and told them that they had never met the person who was standing in front of them, the new me. I must admit, Phil says, I had a few interesting responses, but all were full of respect and admiration for what unfolded for me on that day. I'm sharing this story with you because I know how many people are out there with questions they need to ask about their own lives, questions that haven't been asked yet but need to be asked. Be empowered by the truth and not afraid of it. I'd also like to complete this story of incredible healing by thanking my mother, brother, and sister for their love and my wonderful father who passed away a couple of years ago, but who I know loved me as if I were his own flesh and blood. I want to thank you all for being in my life. And for anyone out there who is adopted or feels that they might be, this little piece of verse is for you. This is titled Chosen Child. Not flesh of my flesh, nor bone of my bone, but still miraculously my own. Never forget for even a minute you did not grow under my heart, but in it. And this was by Phil Evans. He was 57 years old when he found out that he had been adopted. This is a man who is very successful as a motivator, a business coach, a life coach, and he's a writer, and he's based in Australia. I thought his story was so significant that I wanted to share it with you on the air today, because I do think that we need to realize that sometimes things happen in life, and if we don't ask questions to get to the base of things that we really need information on, we often wander about maybe with burdens like Phil was carrying emotionally and not understanding why they are there. So I think Phil Evans' story, his story about being adopted, finding out what really happened and why it occurred, and really becoming aware of who he is as an individual, set him free. That gave him freedom in a way as a mature adult that he hadn't experienced throughout his entire life. And that is what we are all about, exploring, experiencing life to the fullest, but understanding that each of us as individuals, we all have our unique journey to follow. And in truth, it's not good, it's not bad, it's just a journey. But it's what we do with our feelings about ourselves and life itself that can make all the difference in the world. So you really need to be aware of this. And it's a lesson that's brought home to me all the time. And I feel so fortunate, again, with all of the people that cross my path and the stories that they share with me. We all have something very special and significant to give. Whether you are an author, whether you are a teacher, whether you're a plumber, it doesn't make any difference. You have a value, but you have to inside yourself know that that value is yours to claim, to enjoy, and to share. We can't go through this life without doing any of that, and if we do, we're always going to feel like we've been shortchanged. And we haven't, really. Every one of us have been given everything we need to achieve what we want to achieve in life. It may not happen in 30 seconds, but hey, look at Grandma Moses. She did it in her 90s. Who cares? It's the journey. And that's what made Grandma Moses so significant with her art, because she told her story through her art. This is Donna Siebel. I know that we're just about out of time. I'm so delighted that you were able to join me today. Remember always, you are the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Have a magnificent day. Tomorrow, remember, we're going to be talking about power abused, power healed. Tell your friends. Stop by for an hour. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. We always have good things to share right here on the Donna Siebel Show. Talk with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.